And now, the life of Mary Southern. Many months ago, Mary Southern's husband, Max, became involved with a gang of gamblers. Wishing to expose them, really, and at the same time to reveal himself to Mary as unworthy of her love and esteem, he let himself be captured with them and indicted for gambling. His friend, Charles Cheney, frontman for the gamblers, unwittingly testified very damagingly against Max. A prison sentence will mean that Max must leave Mary alone, under the protection of Dr. John Benson, who loves Mary. It means that his crippled sister, Phyllis, will be without Max's help. It means destruction of all Mary and Max have worked for. Now, after a desperate moment in which Max considered running away, he is calm. The prosecution has rested, and Max himself is ready to testify in his own defense. Max has taken the stand and has been sworn in. Pale but self-possessed, Max answers his attorney's questions firmly, gazing out over the audience now and again for Mary's nod and smile of encouragement.
And you say that you have long held an important place in the civic life of the town of Sanders?
Yes.
Then you had very little to gain and a great deal to lose by associating yourself with a gambling racket in town.
Little to gain? No, I didn't have anything to gain.
Then won't you tell the court exactly why you connected yourself with those gangsters?
Well, it started with my turn in the hotel over the month. I guess I was feeling ornery when I did it. You see, I'd had a quarrel with Mary, my wife.
Yes? Yes? But what about the hotel now?
Well, you see, once I started, I couldn't welch on the deal. Besides, I had a better idea. I thought, here's a chance to lead the mob on, round up the whole bunch of them for the governor. Well, I thought I'd go along with them, let them think that I was their man. When the time was right for it, well, I was going to sick the cops on them.
What prevented your plan, then? Well, did you know about this raid before it occurred?
Sure. My kid brother-in-law, Danny Stratford, was sore at me. He even thought I was responsible that his wife, my own sister, became crippled. Well, he loses his head and tells the cops before I have a chance to.
But you knew the raid was going to take place.
Sure.
Who told you?
Mary, my wife. Well, she stuck with me all the way.
Then, knowing about the raid, how did it happen that you were captured along with the others?
Well, because I wanted to be captured. Well, you can ask Cheney. Ask Cheney. I made him leave the hotel and I stayed on. So they picked me up. The cops.
You want her to be captured?
Yeah, sure.
Why?
Well, I wanted it so Mary could see for herself that everybody else was right about me, and that she was wrong. I wanted to make her see that she was wasting her time with a hoodlum like me. I wanted to be disgraced, if that's what you want to call it, so she wouldn't have any trouble forgetting about me and marrying someone else if she felt like it.
I see. But, tell us this, Mr. Sanders. Just how would such a measure be the solution to your domestic problems?
How?
Yes.
Easy. I just figured that I'd bump myself off.
You were going to kill yourself?
Oh, that's one way out, ain't it?
Well, now, that's very good. Very good indeed.
If the district attorney can control his amusement long enough, I should like to read a letter that will prove the defendant's utter sincerity. Now, this letter was written by the defendant long before his capture in the raid. It's addressed to his wife. He read after his death. It says, "Dear Mary, when you read this letter, I will be out of the way. I never was good enough for you, and everyone knows it, except you. I've been wrong about nearly everything between us. I was wrong about giving the hotel over to those gamblers. But once I started, I was in for it. I couldn't turn back. Anyhow, it proved to you that I really wasn't any good. I had to show you that to make you forget me. And besides, I saw a chance to round up all those gangsters once and for all. I wanted to...
Excuse me, please, Mr. Gaynor. Before you go on. Do you seriously propose to enter that letter into evidence?
Yes, sir, I do.
May I see it, please?
Of course.
Thank you. Well, I'm very sorry, but I shall have to object to the admission of this letter into evidence at this moment. This letter bears no postmark. It's not dated. How in creation do we know for certain that it was written before the defendant's capture, huh? How do we know that it wasn't written yesterday? A week ago, this very morning.
Do you mean to insinuate...
I mean to point out that this can't possibly be admitted as a valid piece of evidence just now, sir.
Very well. I do not offer it in evidence just yet. May I proceed with the question?
Yes, yes, go right ahead, Mr. Gaynor.
Thank you. Mr. Sanders.
Yeah?
I have here a transcript of the testimony of Charles Cheney for the prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
He told the court that you and Cheney threatened a certain Dr. John Benson with guns because Benson threatened to have the gambling house raided. Is that a fact?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. What was your purpose in so menacing the doctor?
Well, if they'd have sprung the raid then, they'd have missed half of the big shots.
And so you were using force benignly, that is, to achieve an ultimately good purpose?
Sure.
Thank you. That'll be all for the present. Prosecutor may take the witness.
Thank you, Mr. Gaynor. Well, Mr. Sanders... You testified that you wanted to prove yourself unworthy of your wife by identifying yourself with this gang of hoodlums and hooligans, huh?
Yes.
The further object being to make it easy for her to forget you after it was all over.
That's right.
Well, tell me, Mr. Sanders, do you think that the way to make a woman despise you is by making yourself out to be a hero and a public martyr?
What? Wait a minute, I don't get
it. Well, look, you tell yourself in this very touching letter that you really intended to round up the gamblers. But you see, you also try to tell us that you wanted her to believe you were in league with those outlaws, and therefore unworthy of her good opinion.
Well, I just thought that I...
Yes, Well, how does all that match up?
Huh?
And then there's another thing. If you wanted your wife to forget you, why did you hint at suicide in your letter?
Oh, no, I didn't say that, did I?
Well, I said hint. Now, look, the letter's handed to her after your death. It says that you'll be out of the way, out of her life. What would you expect her to believe, except that you deliberately killed yourself?
Why?
Now, you see, you tell us you wanted to discredit yourself in your wife's eyes forever. But in this letter, you all but cry out for sympathy and understanding. It just doesn't fit, Mr. Sanders.
Well, I just guess... Well, you see, the whole thing is that... I didn't figure it out that careful when I wrote the letter.
I see. You just didn't figure it out that careful, huh?
No, I mean... Uh-huh. Well, I didn't figure it out like that at all. I just thought... I don't know, I was just mixed up.
Just mixed up, huh? But confused as you were, you still were cool enough to figure out your clever little scheme for trapping the gamblers in their own nets.
Huh? What?
Well, suppose we put it another way, huh? Perhaps you were confused over what you really meant to do with the gamblers, and you were actually very cool when you wrote this letter, huh?
Objection! I object, Your Honor. I object to the district attorney's bullying and insinuating tactics. The defendant's own wife, by encouraging damaging testimony against the defendant, has earned for the defendant the right to be believed when he gives testimony in his own favor. And I insist upon my right to discover whether or not this letter is a fake and a falsehood perpetrated by Max Sanders to save his own skin.
The letter is not a fake.
What? What's that? Who are you?
The letter is not a fake and it's not a falsehood. I'm Dr. John Benson, and I want to be sworn in as a witness for the defense.
Right enough, Dr. John. You do know something about that letter, don't you? We didn't think we'd be able to use you, but this is different. This is different.